Today's first reading is from the opening of the book of the prophet Isaiah, where the prophet denounces the southern kingdom of Judah, referring to their leaders as princes of Sodom, calling their inhabitants the people of Gomorrah. Isaiah 1 verse 10. Sodom and Gomorrah were among the proverbial examples in Scripture of wickedness, and their destruction was a preview of the just anger and judgment of God that's destined to come upon all unrepentant sinners. Sin is a huge problem. Unrepentant sin is a huger problem. It's actually an unfixable problem. It's also an unforgivable problem as well. In the book of the prophet Ezekiel, Ezekiel 16, verses 49 and 50, the Lord lists among the sins of Sodom pride, arrogance, gluttony, self-centered living, unmerciful conduct, and, quote, abominable things, unquote. The Old Testament prophets stopped short of accusing God's own people of unnatural lust, which is what we classically mean when we speak of the sin of Sodom. And yet, in Genesis 19, the sin of sodomy is explicit in the recounting of the story of that pagan city's decay and imminent destruction. So the idea that the sin of Sodom was merely the sin of inhospitality is subterfuge. It's a lie. Inhospitality is the fruit, it's the effect of a lifestyle that's already hedonistic, that's already self-centered and pleasure-centered, a life that's far from God's plan for humanity. And the sin of Sodom, including sodomy, will never be compatible with living right in God's eyes. In truth, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah were lacking both in personal justice and in social justice. Their personal behavior and their social behavior were both reprehensible in the Lord's eyes. But with the reprimand that God gives to his own people in today's first reading, he also offers hope. He says, "Come, let us set things right," says the Lord. "Though your sins be like scarlet, they may become white as snow. Though they be crimson red, they may become white as wool." Isaiah 1:18. So our hedonistic and materialistic culture tends to think of suffering, that suffering is the biggest or one of the biggest problems that we have. Suffering is the great evil that we have to eliminate, is the thought of many people today. Of course, alleviating suffering is good many times. It's also a work of mercy as well. But the evil that God worries most about is sin, not suffering. Yes, God does have a heart for our sufferings, but he doesn't have a heart for our sins. Question, are we as eager to get rid of our sins as we are eager to get rid of our sufferings? Probably not, right? If we were as zealous to eliminate sin as in our own personal lives as we are zealous to eliminate sufferings, we probably convert the world to Christ in a relatively short period of time. And that would actually alleviate a lot of the sufferings in the world when you think about it, if people were converted to Jesus. The Lord sets a condition on the elimination of sin, and we see that at the end of today's first reading, God says, quote, "If you are willing and obey, you shall eat the good things of the land, but if you refuse and resist, the sword shall consume you, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Isaiah 1 verses 19 and 20. What are the conditions for eliminating sin in our lives? Well, obviously, repentance, as we always mention. Well, according to the prophet here, he says specifically, you have to have a good will, and you also have to have obedience, too. A good will means that we desire to do what's right, and we take the necessary steps to do what's right in God's sight. Peace on earth to men of good will is what the angels sang when Christ was born, Luke 2:14. A good desire without good action is often just a daydream. A good desire without good deeds is fruitless. It doesn't produce anything good. I could have a desire to plant a vegetable garden, but if I never concretely act on that desire, I won't be eating anything from my imaginary garden. Similarly, I could have the desire to avoid sin and to do good, to help others, but if I never act on those good desires, I'm spiritually going to remain sterile. I could also have a desire to do something really good for God, but if I never act on that desire, it'll remain an empty fantasy. So to break with sin, I have to first have the desire to do what's right, and that's what we would say. We call that repentance. Then I have to act on that desire, which means resolution. Repentance and resolution to do what's right is essential to spiritual growth and well-being. To break with sin, I also, as the prophet says, or as God says through the prophet, I need to be obedient. To obey in Hebrew, the word is shema. It means to hear and to listen as well. So to obey means to hear and to listen to. The prayer in Hebrew known as the Shema Israel is Deuteronomy 6 verse 4, where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." So hearing, listening, obeying, humility, they're all tied together. A humble and obedient person listens to God. They listen to the church. They listen to their pastors or confessors or spiritual directors. They don't listen to de facto schismatic or lawless priests on the one extreme, or to the de facto schismatic heretical priests on the other extreme, like the ones who are saying that the sin of Sodom is no longer a sin, for example. A number of times our Lord says in the gospel, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So we know everyone has ears, but not everyone listens. Many women can probably testify that about their husbands, right? At least I hear that quite often, right? He hears, but he doesn't listen. That's true. Not everyone listens. Also means that not everyone has a docile and obedient spirit either. Obedience and listening require what we've called before a teachable spirit. Some people don't have teachable spirits. When you notice that's the case, it's better not to waste your time and energy to try to convince them. Our Lord warns us. He says, "Don't cast your pearls before swine." Matthew 7, 6, and Proverbs 12, 15 says this, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but the wise man listens to advice." And the word that's used there for listens is that Hebrew word shema. So someone who's wise hears, listens, and obeys. Why? Because they have a humble and docile spirit. God says, "If you are willing and obey, you shall eat of the good things of the land, but if you refuse and resist, the sword shall consume you." So a lot of times it's better to pray for those who refuse and resist to listen rather than to try to convince them. Pray that God will put them in a situation that will open their ears and their minds and their hearts to the truth. I think that a lot of times God would like to do things the easy way with us, but with some of us, he has to do things the hard way in order to hopefully get us to listen. So let's ask Our Lady for the grace, one, to not fall prey to the seduction and the deception of those whose minds and hearts are closed to the truth, like the minds and the hearts of the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Two, let's ask her for the grace to know when to speak and know when to be silent in the face of people who don't have ears to hear. And three, let's ask her for the humility not to be wise in our own eyes. Let's ask her for the grace to have a teachable spirit. Praise be Jesus and Mary, now and forever.